All right, thank you, BBS. So here we are on Monday, the 18th of, what's it, May. We are like 8 minutes early. That is awesome. I welcome you all. This is a Monday evening a conference call, and I just received Vin's email regarding tonight's call. I will check into that. I first want to welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Felipe, Long Beach, California.
Felipe, welcome to the call. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Felipe.
Hi.
And the next caller just joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hello.
Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
The Canadian lady. Welcome.
Hi, Wanda.
We're in Maple Creek, Saskatchewan.
Right. And the next caller, I welcome you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Gail. From New Jersey.
Welcome back, Gail. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine, and thank you for Sunday.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Wonderful.
Yeah, good job.
All right, great. Good to hear that. I appreciate that.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. Oh, hi. How are you?
Crazy as ever.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good sign.
Yeah.
All right. And back to people.
Did you hear Heiss on Sunday?
Oh, you better believe I did.
Oh, he was wonderful, wasn't he?
He was great.
Yes. Dr. Terry.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heiss. It's Cleo. How are you?
I'm just fantastic, Cleo. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank
you. Hi,
Cleo. Hi. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Hi, Cleo.
Hi.
Hello, Cleo.
Hi.
All right. So when his email came out, and let's see what it says. George Norrie breakthrough with lots of expression on that. Terry and I are on the road right now, just returning from Denver, where we did two shows on George's internet TV show, Beyond Belief. Wait till you hear what happened. All right, so.
Cool.
All right, that's interesting. All right.
So it's snow down there, Donna?
No, it's raining. It's raining.
Oh.
It's cold.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Raiden Knight, New Mexico.
All right, Raiden. Welcome to the call. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you, my friend?
I'm just fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Excellent.
Hi, Raiden.
Gilbert in Central Florida.
All right. Who did I pick up? Who is that from Central Florida?
Gilbert.
Hey, Gilbert. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Gilbert.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, so when be on the call tonight?
Apparently so. Did you hear what I just read his email?
Yeah, I did. I got that too.
Okay, so I think he will be here shortly, yes.
Uh-huh.
Nice. You did a great job yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Really good.
Well, hi, don't worry about it. We'll just pull out the party hats and celebrate again.
I've been on the highway for 10 days, so I really hope I'm really waiting to re-listen to it.
It's going to be a great one. You'll love every moment of it, I promise.
I missed it, Heinz. I heard that it was really good, though. But
all right.
I guess I'll listen to it this evening, maybe. I'm on the highway again today to Maple Creek, dropping off.
My goodness, Wanda, there's no dirt or grass growing underneath your feet at all.
I'm jealous at you, though. I love being on the road.
Oh, we got cattle dropping off today.
We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Oxford represented. Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. You are the number one tonight.
Marilyn, number one.
All right, and now welcome the next caller. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Judy from Montreal.
Hi, Judy. Welcome to the call.
Yeah,
hello,
nice
Judy.
To be on it. Hi.
Hi, Judy.
All right, and more callers joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Good evening to you, Sister Morgan. Welcome to the call.
That's so sweet. Thank you very much.
Sunshine to you, Morgan.
Hi, Don. Is Wynn and Terry back yet?
No, they're on the road.
Oh,
we'll most likely be on the call.
Okay.
I believe we had somebody else join in the meantime. Welcome. Oh, please say your name and location.
Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
All
great show
right.
yesterday. Great show.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Good evening, Ron. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Ice?
Good, good. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Morgan.
More people have joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening to you, Shirley, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey, Shirley.
Hello.
All right, and the next caller, welcome to the call. Please say your location.
Marshall from Nicola.
Marshall, welcome to the call.
How are you
hi,
doing?
Hi, Terry. Hi, Ron. Hi, Shirley. Hi, Marshall. I caught up.
Hey, Donna.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Donna.
Hi, guys.
DBS here yet?
Yep. We are live throughout the entire world, online through BBS Radio. Watch what you're saying.
We
everybody
love you.
Here.
We love you a lot.
Love is all you need. Good evening to the next caller. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Herman, welcome.
Hey, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Good job yesterday, Heis.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Never
Maryland, welcome to the call.
Great job yesterday, Heis.
Thank you very much.
You need a recording, Heis.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Friedman.
Uncle
Hi.
Terry, welcome to the call, my friend.
Hi, Uncle Terry.
Hello. Hey, Terry.
Hello,
Terry.
Hi, there. Hi.
Uncle Terry, I'm very grateful for you doing that yesterday. I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
Sunshine to you, Terry.
Thank you.
Sunshine from Saskatchewan.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Sandra from Virginia Beach.
Hi, Sandra. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you. Gorgeous.
All right. Thank you for being here.
One little question. How can we get Wynn and Terry's upcoming George Norrie thing if we don't get that radio station?
You will be, that's probably still, my guess is, a couple of months out before that's going to be broadcast. But you will, I'm for sure that Wynn will inform everyone how to get to that. You can make a subscribe to, like, one of
make
those online stations. You can subscribe and then, I believe it's like you can subscribe 1 month for no charge if you cancel in time. So, but you will be informed, Morgan.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Don.
All right, more people have joined in here.
Here in the Bob? Desert.
Paul, oh, please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Jim. Hello, everybody. Love to you all.
The donut, hello, Jim. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Yes.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, hi.
Always good to hear your voice.
Well, it's and always good to hear. I'm sorry?
You know,
keep talking, man.
Coast to Coast usually advertises on or does YouTube as well. You might be able to see it there or hear it there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we don't get anything out here in the desert. We don't get YouTube or anything. So.
Well, it's not it isn't a radio show. It's on in the Internet.
Gaiam TV.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
Oh, is it on Gaiam?
Yeah.
It's Gaiam TV,
yeah. Oh, good.
Okay.
But I bet you Wynn is not here yet, but he will inform us. Probably, I might get
He's not here either, Heiss. They're on their way back from Phoenix. I assume they pulled off the road somewhere so they could do this call.
Yeah, we're in Rock Springs.
I'm knowing.
We're in Rock Springs. Hi.
Hi, Derek.
Oh, hello. Good evening.
Hi, Gary.
I'm going to stay muted because I'm sitting in the restaurant and there is a bunch of noise and Wynn's in the car calling in.
I'm glad to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Thank
Gary,
you.
We like all that noise. You know, it
I know, I got it muted.
Country, she's in a country and western restaurant, okay?
Right.
Good evening to you, Wynn. I can't wait to hear from you. It was interesting to see your email.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to talk about that. That was just to come on to get people to show up.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to hang up now.
These are
you're cutting us off.
All right. Good to have you, Wynn and Terry. And we also have Uncle Terry with us, Dr. Friedman. This is the Monday evening, and it is 6:03. If you are ready or not, I think we are going to start.
Can you start the recording?
Think,
Wynn?
Yes, I'm going to mute the lines first. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is Monday. Now, what is the date today? Terry, what's the date?
May 18th.
May 18th. Wynn and Terry in Rock Springs, Arizona. And you can hear Terry.
Hey, please mute.
With the country music behind her, right? And she's sitting in the restaurant, and Wynn is sitting in the car. And we just got off the plane from Denver, right? And we didn't have time to get back to Sedona. So we're doing our call from the road for a change. And we're recording, right, Heiss?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so this was an extraordinary time we had. You know, I have come to the point of view, it seems very real to me, that this is about a community and that we're kind of, all of us, digging a trench and pouring a foundation to create something that could be extremely important for our planet at this point. And I realize that, and you know, it's always the challenge of how do you make that occur? What do you do? You stand on the street corner and say, repent sinners, that doesn't work. And it doesn't fit my style. Well, in any case, that one of the greatest things that has happened is that we have, you know, I've been on George Norrie about 6 times and talking to, you know, millions of people. And many of you came from hearing us on George Norrie. And, you know, the producer there, she likes me. And, you know, it kind of takes a while to figure out what we're really doing. Even when somebody likes me, it took me 3 years to figure it out, to tell you the truth. I'm still figuring it out. It's like there's no instruction manual on how to do this. But nonetheless, in the past, you know, I had the idea from the producer of the show. By the way, I'll tell you how I got on the show. If you haven't heard the story, it's a good story. I have been trying to get on the show and getting them to pay attention to me for 10 years. I felt I would fit and that their audience would like me. And, I mean, I was on in 2004 talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And David Wilcock was on at the same time. But even though I was in the middle of my own experience with the Elohim, I couldn't talk about it on that show because David was, if I was on by myself, I probably would have talked about it. But David was on that show, and we had to focus on Edgar Casey and Wilcock. And, of course, that show launched David into being a regular on George Norrie, and George Norrie knew he was Casey, and then of course David has gone on to be a superstar, and David and I don't even talk to each other anymore. It's not because I'm glad that he's out there; it's just that there were a lot of instances where he treated me like less than respectfully, like I would open the door for him and he'd slam it on my nose. And I just said, okay, I got to accept that's the way it is. I'm glad I did what I did. I'm glad I wrote the book. The book stands on its own. But I can't really, it was almost as if David was competitive with me, that what I was doing was powerful and that he wanted to be out there in his way. And so I had to create my own way of being out there. And, of course, being the reincarnation of Edgar Casey made David really, really interesting, and everybody would easily pay attention to him. And I think he's done a really good job, and I have no regrets at all about everything. And it just so happens David is probably the number one most popular show on Gaiam TV, which is where Beyond Belief is, okay? And so the way I got on George Norrie originally was about 2.5 years ago. I called up the producer. Now, you know, for you guys who are coming on the call, and you know, we have a really relaxed presentation, and there's a lot of really good energy on the call. You know, it's like to take that and have somebody acknowledge it in the public sphere. And it was not easy. And it was also scary. Some of you have seen the video I put up called The Strange Story of Winfrey, because I learned the best way to grab people's attention was to tell this story of having two girlfriends that were channeling a source that said they created the universe. It sounded so ludicrous that it didn't sound religious. And that's how I kept approaching it every time I gave a talk. And about 2.5 years ago, I made a video and I told the story on a video. And it was a little scary to make that video. Because, you know, you've heard Carla Ruckert and you've heard about Gaffney. People get negatively attacked for this. This is stuff that is very incendiary to this realm. This is stuff that could actually transform the realm. It could, if enough people got in tune with the energy. But you can't tell that to people. They have to discover it, and they have to create their own resonance. And my job is figuring out how do I help people in this process of discovering what we're doing. And so I put up this video, The Strange Story of Winfrey. If you go to intelligent-infinity.com, you can go look at it. And I was really upfront about it. Was a 15-minute video that told the story of how Daphne and I started channeling, and with an audio of the channeling we did over the conference call, the first time that happened. And it was a surprise. I didn't think we could do channelings on the conference calls. I thought we could play back channelings, but I didn't think we could do a live one because I was so afraid, what if we get a negative source taking over the line? I can't control it at that point. And it's done. It's out there. And it took me, you know, but Daphne showed up, and we weren't living together at the time, but she showed up, and in the middle of it, she said they want to say something. And there was this spectacular session, which is on that video, on intelligent-infinity, and she goes, look at it. So I finished that video, and then I sent it to the producer of George Norrie, and I never heard from her. And about a month or two went by, and I called her up to see if she looked at the video. She happened to pick up the phone, and she was talking to me for 2 hours. She was interviewing me as if I was going to be on the show and seeing how I handled myself. And I think she really liked how I was doing, because at the end of about 2 hours of listening to me, she said, I got an hour tonight. You want to be on? And so, of course, I had this moment of terrible fear, and I said, yes, put me on. And I know, I sense that she knew how far out I was and that she was not sure what the reaction of the people on Coast, you know, the listeners to Coast would be. And they're going to think I'm the Antichrist, of, you know, the people that are religious, how they're going to relate to me. And so she put me on, never, you know, with no notice. And I think it was like, it felt safer for her to just not announce it and put me on last minute. And I did really well. And people really responded. And some of you are maybe those people, and you sent emails to them. And so I would say about a month later, 6 weeks later, she said, I'm going to put you on for 3 hours. And again, I held the energy for 3 hours successfully, and George was responding to me. Remember, I'm really out there. This work is out there. We are out on, we're right in the middle of everything, but on one level, and the other level, we're on the fringes. So now, from that time 2 years ago, I've been on Coast about 6 times, and the last time I started calling her, would you put me on again? She says, when? I don't really, I really like you. I like your work, but I don't want to put you on too much because people think I'm favoritizing you. So give it a year between being on there. And so a year went by, and I think in November, December, she put me on again, which was about a year from the last time. And then out of the blue, about 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a call from Tom Donheiser, and Tom is George's producer in the studio. Lisa is his producer in, she's in Oregon. She picks the guests mostly. And Tom said, we want you to come down and do 2 episodes of Beyond Belief, and we'll pay all your expenses, and we'll put you up in a hotel, and it's like a half-hour thing. Send me videos, send me stuff, because this is not like the radio. They produce this. They think about what they're going to do. It's not so much seat of the pants. It is a little bit, but it isn't a little bit. And so Tom said they wanted to do one show about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the other show about the Elohim. And then he said, send them stuff for the shows. Send them videos. Send them pictures. And so I spent all last week compiling things. He said, call me up. He gave me his phone number. He said, just bug me because I want to get this right. And so we did it. And showed up on Saturday and Sunday morning. They had a limo driver pick us up. And this is, of course, the style we are not accustomed to. And we went to the studio. And now remember, David Wilcock is the number one draw on Gaiam TV. I probably laid a serious track with the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce for that being so. And David and I don't talk to each other anymore. So this was, you know, how am I going to talk about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce when he's on Guy, you know, on this show? And I've had to be really, be very, very diplomatic in the whole thing. And I really have no regrets. I am glad David's out there. I'm helping. I'm glad that the book launched him. And it, you know, it feels like there was nothing. I think that what happened on David's behalf is that he had a very strong idea of how he wanted to be present himself to the world. And it totally freaked him out that his writer, me, was suddenly involved in this channeling experience with a source that said they created the universe, that we're doing miracles. And I mean, I used to talk to him about it, and I tried to confide in him because I figured he was an expert. And but while I was doing that, I think he was, first of all, he was afraid. Well, what if Wynn is doing something negative? What if these are negative sources? And I don't want to take a risk of being associated closely with him if he has negative sources. And I can understand that because sometimes I have to evaluate that. If there's anybody that I think I want to present on the show, I will think long and long and hard and test it for a long time because it's very easy to present someone that looks positive that's got a negative source. And oftentimes, even when somebody is kind of positive, if they have a hunger for recognition, then they will blow it because then they'll start competing with me. And it's not about competition. It's about co-creation. But I can't stop somebody from doing that if that's their predisposition. So we did the first half hour, and it came off really good. And what George was doing, see, I didn't know how this was going to work, but George was leading it, and basically, he did not. He was saying I was going to be talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and we talked about Edgar Cayce, but he never mentioned that the guy that I wrote the book about happened to be the lead person on Gaiam TV, even probably more popular than George in terms of views. So, and then he led up to it, and then at some point he said, and by the way, Wynn wrote the book about David Wilcock, okay? It was a half-hour show. It came off really good. And then we took a short break, and I'm sitting out there in the studio, and George is looking through the notes from Tommy, his producer. And George is saying, Tommy, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, you didn't give me what I need. And I was trying to, you know, he was trying to figure out a lead-in on how to talk to me. And he couldn't figure it out. And they were buzzing around the room. Maybe we should just scrap the second part and just leave it at the one-half-hour show. And Terry was back in the control room and out of my sight. But she was watching the producers while George and I were sitting out on the floor. And Terry, are you on?
I'm here, yes.
Why
it was very interesting.
Why don't you share what was going on in the control room for all of this?
Tommy was, the producer, was saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to just talk about Daphne. And he said, all we got is Daphne. We don't have anything else. We've got a video of Daphne. And then George, he was on in the other room, and he said, but Tommy, what's all this other stuff? And he says, just give me a little bit, so that I said, then I'll take it from there. So you want to tell what happened next? When?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, and George is trying to figure out, where do I start? And Tommy, they were thinking maybe we should scrap, maybe we should scrap the second part of this. And
yeah,
then,
but then George said, but he's here now. We should go ahead.
So what happened was I was like, my brain was going through 1,000 miles an hour saying he wanted something that he could start with that was relatable to. Remember, this is not like a continuation of Coast to Coast. He has to assume that people that are watching this are watching it for the first time, being introduced to me for the first time, and having been on Coast listening to me. And so I said, why don't we talk about miracles? and you know, our sources don't like to emphasize miracles. They don't like to because it causes people to give up their power. But I said miracles. I hear that's Terry in the background there. Terry, push your mute button. I'll bring you back on again, okay? And so George tells the story. He decides miracles. Okay, we'll do miracles. And then he tells the story of a miracle, and he asks, Wynn, how do you think that happened? And I answered him. I explained it. And then somehow we got into it, and Terry was there watching. And Terry, you come back and tell me what they were saying in the back room while we were doing it.
Well, they were saying Tommy didn't think it was going to go very good somehow. But then you told the story from the start and with Daphne, and then you told the story of Daphne getting negatively attacked and leaving. It was too much for her. And then told the story of me coming into the picture. And Tommy started grinning from ear to ear and said, it works! And Jay said, it works. He's a producer, another producer. And when Wynn was telling the story of Jasty and then me, the guy that was the engineer was just in hysterical laughter about the whole thing. So they really perked up their ears and really were interested in the second part. And then tell them what Tommy said to you afterwards. When?
I'm here. After the show was over, everyone was buzzing with energy, and you know, the vibrate. I think that, you know, aside from doing a good show, the vibration of the place lifted. Now, I'll tell you that this is one of those situations where the energy around us was extremely high. And the Elohim, when we do something like this, they show up and people feel the energy. They don't know what it is, but they feel it. And after we did the show and we pulled it off, going from miracles to the Elohim, and we did it. We created a flow. George was really pleased with it. Everyone felt it was something special. And then I'm talking to Daphne afterwards. Not Daphne. I'm talking to Tommy afterwards. And Tommy said, well, I got to tell you, remember the movie Jaws, and they almost dumped it, and they didn't make it because they're having so much problem with the shark, and then they finally pulled it through, and it became one of the biggest grossers in history. And he said, I think we have another Jaws here. And so that was very exciting. And I think I'm going to end up being on the radio show again in 2 weeks, and everyone was kind of really jazzed. And, you know, partially the reason she wasn't putting me on except for once a year, because she had to answer to Tommy and George. And they might say, what are you putting this guy on so much? Now, I don't think there's going to be a problem. I think I'm going to be on more often. I think so. We'll see. If I don't screw it up, I usually don't like to say things until they happen because I'm afraid I'll jinx them. And I'm not saying it, you know, with any kind of self-aggrandizement. I'm just saying how the universe works to open a pathway. And I have to say that George said when we were on the air, he was just saying we get so many letters from people speaking highly of how your work has impacted them. So I can give you all credit for. And I've said this before, but you don't realize it. Not all of you have sent letters. And if any of you want to, you're welcome to. You know, so you can tell, you know, just say, I'm so excited we're going to be on Beyond Belief, and he's changed my life. And just kind of reiterates that I'm as crazy as my story is. And I found that it was telling my story. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't want to tell the story of my personal life and expose it to the world. I didn't want to. And of course, Daphne was terribly upset by that because Terry understood, on some level, she understood that this was a service to be that transparent about it. But Daphne was saying, if you change my name on the website, you know, it's like she's very proud, and it was like it was screwing her up to be publicly being talked about in the way that I was doing it. But I think she's over it. She doesn't know what happened on this show, but I think it's going to kind of blow her away when she hears it. Okay, and. So we got 3 minutes left. Terry, what? You know what? Is Terry Friedman there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I gave George your book. I gave Tommy your book, okay?
Thank you.
And you know, I think I won a lot of respect from that whole crew. And I think that there's a really good chance that some point soon we're going to tell the story of the reincarnation of Matthew on George Norrie.
Wonderful.
Now, the thing is, Terry, when we do that, you don't have to say you're Matthew. Just share your experiences. Say, I heard a voice in my head.
Yeah.
It said it was Jesus. I wasn't sure it was Jesus, but it felt really loving. You know how you follow? This is the way that it's best to present oneself to the public at large. Leave it like it's a question that they have to resolve by reading the book or going to the website. and seeing if it resonates with them. You follow? Because if you tell somebody this is Jesus, many of you know that I would always say it's the voice that said they're the Elohim, and I don't say it's the Elohim. I mean, I say it to sometimes when I'm talking to our group of regulars, which is now like family, and that you are all holding the energy for all of this. You really are. I'm learning, and I'm having way more courage in talking about this in a public way, because I'm not getting a bunch of, at quick glance, somebody may look at it and say, we've got a bunch of followers. But I don't think you're followers. I think we have presented so much evidence. We've presented so much connection and so much loving energy on our calls that it's helped transform you. But when somebody's outside of that, they don't understand the process. So you can't refer. I can refer to the process, and I do, and I tell people, it's amazing the way people have transformed. And, it's not just you that's transformed. It's Terry and me that have transformed, okay? We're on a learning curve on how to do this stuff. And you are teaching us how to do it. And, this is really a big deal. It's not about being famous. It's about helping people feel stable and safe when the world doesn't feel stable and safe. And the only way you can really accomplish that, I think, is to really get that you don't die. And then the world is not so scary. And that if we've all had 1,000 lifetimes up till now, if that's true, then this is only one life in a long progression. And when we die, we've had enough evidence. People that have talked to us, from Carla to Robin Williams, to even Michael Jackson. We don't look to talk to people on the other side. That's not something I emphasize, but it sometimes happens. And sometimes people on our Wednesday call, those of you who are regulars, ask about somebody on the other side, and sometimes the person gives them a message. They don't always, because it's not I'm learning myself. Not everyone is available to do that. They're working stuff out. They're in an interim stage. Or they ascend. They go through, either the tunnel of light, but they go into a higher dimension, and they don't have the access to easily talk from that dimension yet. Now, they should be able to sooner or later, because the Elohim and the Ra group can talk from a higher dimension into this dimension. But I don't know everything about how it works, but we certainly had enough evidence. And we're not running out of time. I'm looking at Terry's clock here, and Terry's clock is 20 minutes fast. So it's only 6:35, okay? So,
Vin, one thing, the callers before the show started, they were questioning how can we see the show at Beyond Belief? How long from now will it be broadcast? How can we get to it?
Well, Tommy said about 6 weeks they'll probably do it, okay?
Yeah, all right, and by that time, you will get an email out how to get to it, I assume.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell everybody. Now, I think what you have to do is Gaiam TV is a subscription service, It's a subscription service where they give you the first week free, and then it's $10 a month, and obviously you can have access to
I believe it's the first month.
Things. The first month is
the first
free.
Month.
It's free? It's free?
Yes.
I'll give you all the information, though. So you can either, if they put my two shows out consecutively, which is probably a good idea, they'll put one out 1 week and one the next week. And so you can subscribe and get both shows. And I'll try to figure out what they're doing so I can give you the best recommendation on that. And I would just send it to everybody, but I don't think I could, I don't want to do that because unless they give me permission, you know, it's a business, and that I can't violate the copyright because they own the copyright for the shows. And it's very interesting. You know, Gaia TV is backed by a very wealthy guy who wants to make a difference in the world. And so, you know, they put $70 million into Gaia TV, trying to turn it into, you know, the most popular internet video site for this kind of material. And it's still growing. I mean, I don't think it has anywhere near the views as Coast to Coast. But I think the credibility of the way we presented it, having videos, having pictures, having everything else, you know, is going to be really powerful. And the, you know, the ongoing connection with George is who knows what's going to happen next. Terry Brown, you want to say anything? Let's hear the country in Western. By the way, we are here in a place called Rock Springs. We're about 20 miles north of Phoenix. It's a little restaurant in the middle of nothing. We hear Terry in the background. Terry, you want to share anything? Would you like to share anything?
Well, it was really talking to Tommy and George. I felt like for the first time that they were really understanding what we were doing, and that before that it was kind of glossed over the top or something. But now, all of a sudden, they are really, they had to make it real to themselves what we are doing. And so I think it was a big step forward to be on that show. And the people there were very wonderful to hang out with, as they're making movies and they're interested in bettering the world. There was another lady that was talking about chemtrails before us, and Marshall Masters was talking after, and they did four shows a month. And two of them were where?
I think they do eight shows a month. Okay, four people, but eight shows in a day. I mean, this was a rigid schedule they had to do eight shows. They had four people. They flew in, were paying all the expenses, and obviously they wanted to make their guests very comfortable, and that the guy who's backing it is in there for the long haul. You know, it's kind of like the kind of thing that they keep expanding, they keep getting new people signing up for it, and he wants to make a difference in the world, and he has the money to make it hold up while that's going on. So, Jerry Friedman.
Yeah.
What's the most exciting thing that happened in your nursing home today?
We had a long discussion with some of my people at the table, the dining table, and told what I thought was going on right now. Seems to be excited where we're at and what we're doing.
Teddy Brown, please mute.
You know, I got a really, really good reports from people about how well yesterday's show went, Terry.
I'm glad to hear.
And maybe I can retire. You're going to have to live longer, okay?
Okay. I hear
you. That's an honor.
All right, I hear you.
You know, I think it's kind of amazing because Terry, when he went to this nursing home, it's like Terry Friedman has been very prosperous all his life. He's done amazing things. He's been a very famous doctor. And it's like he went into a nursing home and he hated it. He hated being there. He hates the food there. There's all these things going against it. And, you know, for a while, it's like we lost connection because he was going through so much difficulty integrating himself. And then when we went to visit him, I went to visit him with Richard Chapin a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I don't know. And Terry had changed. He was like flowing with the energy of the nursing home. He was selling his books to people in the nursing home. Terry, how are people responding to your book there?
People love my book.
You never told them you were Matthew, of course.
Of course.
I mean, many of them are conventional Christians, and I mean, it would have blown them away to say that.
Yeah.
Give us some comments from some of the people. These are ordinary people who are reading the book. Ordinary. Nobody's ordinary, but, you know, people that couldn't handle the kind of sophisticated explanations we give.
One of the things I've noticed is that if people at my table love the book, then they want to buy books and give them to all their friends, so their friends can enjoy the book as well. So it spreads from people at our table to people at 130 people that are there. Many of them get an opportunity or are given a book by the people at the table. They just give them the book and say, enjoy, you love the book. And so it spreads that way. So I can see there's only 130 people here, but the book is spreading throughout the nursing home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is awesome. And you know what? It's the power of you ministering to people by your presence in the book. You're bringing in the Christed energy to that home.
Yeah.
And I think that is great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond great. And I am so, so glad. In a sense, you know, all the stuff you've gone through may end up looking like a blessing in the long run, you know, because you're moving into that. And now we're moving into feeling a connection again.
Yeah.
Now, my contention is that there's this group Soul, which was the Ra group, was working with Jesus, and you don't have that direct connection yet, so that's okay. But if you read St. Catherine, okay, and they had to use the model of Jesus very strongly. And St. Catherine took the position of being married to Jesus. I believe she had a ring around her that said she's married to Jesus. And when we asked the question about Jesus, they said Jesus is up there and he is answering people who call, okay? And I was just going to read a paragraph of St. Catherine. See, this is all the stuff that I was doing, that I'm putting it together and trying to make it all fit, you know? And there's no doubt in my mind that Terry was St. Catherine, that if you read about St. Catherine, not only are the pictures, but she acts like St. Catherine, okay? And, you know, you can hear what St. Catherine is saying in her book, and then you can translate it into our present language. And it comes to the same thing. It's like if I didn't have our present language and I read it, it may not connect with me. But I connect it all, and the truth is the truth. And let me just find a little section in St. Catherine. I'm sitting with a book here. I took it with me because we were going to use it as a prop in the show. And now remember that St. Catherine could have had channeling sessions that also were compromised. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll just read a section here in the book that just totally relates to I think, some of our work. Let me see, what time is it here? It is, we got 6 minutes. Okay. If you would make progress, then you must be thirsty, because only those who are thirsty are called. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Those who are not thirsty will never persevere in their journey. Either weariness or pleasure will make them stop. They cannot be bothered with carrying the vessel that would make it possible for them to draw the water. And though they cannot travel alone, they do not care for company. So at first sight of any prick of persecution, which they consider their enemy, they turn back. They are afraid because they are alone. If they were with the company, they would not be afraid. And if they had climbed the three stairs, they would be secure because they would not be alone. You must be thirsty. Then, and you must gather together, as he said, either two or three or more. Why did he say two or three? Of course, referring to when Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. Because there are not two without three, nor three without two. One alone is excluded from my companionship, since I cannot be in the midst of someone who has no companion. Those who are wrapped up in selfish love of themselves are alone, mere nothings, because they are cut off from my grace and from my charity for their neighbors. And once deprived of me through their own fault, they turn to nothingness, for I alone am who I am. So those who are alone, those who are wrapped up in selfish love of themselves, are neither taken account of by my truth nor acceptable to me. He says then, meaning Jesus says, now this is not Jesus talking through St. Catherine. This is probably the rock road, probably. He says then, if two or three or more are gathered in my name, I shall be in their midst. I told you that two are not without three, nor three without two, and so it is. Now, I don't know what he means by that. You know that all the commandments of the law are comprised in two, to love me above all things, and to love your neighbor as your very self. And without these two, none of the commandments can be kept. This is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the commandment of the law. These two cannot be gathered together in my name without three, that is, without the gathering of the three powers of the soul, memory, understanding, and will. The memory holds on to my blessings and my goodness to the soul. Understanding contemplates the unspeakable love I have shown you, though the meditation, the mediation of my only begotten Son, whom I have set before your mind's eye for you, to contemplate in him the fire of my charity. This will, the will finally is joined with them to know and desire me, your final goal. When these three powers of the soul are gathered together, I am in their midst by grace. And as soon as you are filled with my love and love of your neighbor, you will find yourself in the company of the multitude of solid virtues. Then the soul's appetite is ready to be thirsty. Thirsty for virtue in my honor and the salvation of souls. Every other thirst is now exhausted and dead, and you travel securely without any slavish fear. You have climbed the first step, that of desire. Once desire is stripped of selfish love, you rise above yourself and above passing things. What you decide to keep, you love and hold not apart from me, but with me. That is, with true, holy fear and love of virtue. Then you find you have climbed the second stairs. This is the enlightenment of the mind, which sees itself reflected in the warm-hearted love I have shown you in the Christ. Then you find peace and quiet, for memory is filled with my love and no longer empty. You know when something is empty, it resounds if you strike it, but not so when it is full. So when the memory is filled with light from understanding and the overflowing love of the will, even though troubles and pleasures of the world strike it, they will not resound with inordinate gladness or impatience, for it is filled with me, and I am all good. Okay, just read that section, and, you know, basically, what are we doing here? We are meeting in community. We are meeting in the intent of spiritual affinity. We are creating community, camaraderie, and we feel this energy on the lines. I feel it as well as you. It works for me as well as it works for you. It's the idea that when we come together, we create an energy that moves into the higher realms and allows the higher realms, the Elohim group, the Ra group, to flow energy back to us. And we do it as a group, and it's easier. It's easier. I've come to the idea that when we come together as a group and hold the group energy, it creates a grounding for the energy of the higher realms, because they come into the love. They feel the love. This is my way of interpreting it. When we create a loving energy amongst us all, then we create a pathway for these groups to come into that love and enhance it and blend with it. You know, when Terry was there with me, she was helping. Even though she was in the background and I was the guy that was on stage, she was holding the energy, and everyone felt it. And this two or more gathered is really important. It's one of the reasons we have things like Team Shift and the Reading Club. It's not about joining and just wasting more time. It's about creating an opportunity to come together with people who are also thirsty, who are also reaching, who are also wanting to make the connection. And so you have the opportunity to experiment with the group energy that a small group that you're part of is creating. It's not me creating it. I'm not creating it, but I'm facilitating it, okay? And you're learning how to facilitate it. And as you learn how it works, you gain the confidence and the security of your connection with Source. And that's how I would interpret that session from St. Catherine in terms of the terminology we use. But it doesn't mean anything different. It's the same idea, how important it is. So if you haven't partaken of the Reading Club or of Team Shift, which is no charge, and it creates an opportunity to do this. And, you know, sometimes people don't do it because they're afraid people are going to see their shadow side. But there's no way faster to release your shadow side than to be around people that understand it, accept it, and don't judge it.